Hi, I'm Tony Rossi for The Christophers, and today I'll be talking with two-time Christopher Award-winning author Joan Bauer about her latest young adult novel called Tell Me, which includes a storyline about human trafficking. We'll discuss why she chose that topic, the reasons she grounds her books in a love of God and other people, and the lessons she learned about hope, humor, and faith after surviving a serious car crash many years ago. Stay with us. Christopher Close-Up starts right now. Hello and welcome to Christopher Close-Up. I'm Tony Rossi, and my guest today is two-time Christopher Award winner Joan Bauer. Joan is a prolific author who's written 12 novels for tweens and teens, and there are three common denominators in all her stories. They're grounded in hope, humor, and faith. As a result, she's received numerous honors in addition to the Christophers I mentioned before. One of the most recent is the 2015 St. Catherine Drexel Award of the Catholic Library Association. The timing of that recognition is perfect, because Joan's latest book is called Tell Me, and it addresses the topic of human trafficking, which should be a concern to Catholics and people of all faiths. To tell us more, I am pleased to welcome to Christopher Close-Up, Joan Bauer. Joan, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here, Tony. Thank you.
Now, Tell Me, is this your 12th book already?
It is my 12th. Yes, I have a dozen now.
My goodness.
it's quite the thing.
Now, you've had all these books and you cover different topics. I'm wondering, do the ideas come from out of the blue, from things you read or people you know? What was the genesis of Tell Me?
The genesis of Tell Me definitely was from people that I know and that I love a great deal. I had a couple of very, very good friends who had decided to take training to help women who were really challenged, who were being trafficked. And they began to tell me some of the stories about this. And I was really, really kind of overcome by that. And I knew that I had to somehow work this into a story, but to try to work it into a story for young people, I wasn't quite sure how to do that initially. As life happens, I'm a screenwriter, a member of the Screenwriters Guild, and they were doing a special seminar with Homeland Security to talk about all that Homeland Security does. So I went, and I learned about how they are, you know, helping trafficked people and helping in amazing ways, and that and all of those things, all of those points began to intersect, and that's where the story came.
Well, because a lot of times when people hear human trafficking, they think sexual slavery, but it's a larger issue than that, too.
Oh, it is. It definitely is. That's part of it, and that is just egregious, but it's definitely people who are being, you know, enslaved as workers, you know, and certainly it's happening in our country each and every day, and that is the thing that's so struck me about this. You know, we can think about historical slavery, and we've all studied that, and it's horrific. And yet, when you begin to wrap your mind around the fact that slavery, modern-day slavery, is happening today in powerful ways, I think the numbers that I've seen are over 20 million in the world.
Wow.
Over 20 million. And so this is something that we have to address. And, you know, the big question is then, you know, when these hard, awful things happen in the world, what do we tell the kids? How do we approach it?
Yeah. Well, how did you approach such a sensitive topic? Because you do approach it in an age-appropriate way in this book.
Thank you. You know, one of the things that I pulled from was something that Fred Rogers, dear Mr. Rogers, said, a story that he told. He said that when he was a boy, and when something frightening happened in his community or something happened in the world that he learned about, he would go to his mother and she would always tell him, don't look at the scary thing, look at the people who are helping.
That's great.
And this is a story about a scary thing, but we don't see it. It's about the people who are running in to help.
Right.
And that really informed it. That was the frame for me around how I did it.
I'm talking to two-time Christopher Award-winning author Joan Bauer about her latest young adult novel called Tell Me. Now, the character that helps is named Anna. And one of the things that impresses me about her is that she doesn't talk herself. She sees this girl and she thinks something is wrong with the situation, but she doesn't talk herself out of thinking anything is wrong. You know, what was going through Anna's mind and your mind creating that character?
It's a great question, and that was a big part of it. You know, what does memory do? because Anna sees this girl just for a few minutes. And it's that kind of thing, it's sort of innocuous. She was doing something else, she wasn't paying attention, and yet all of a sudden memory kicks in, and I think instinct, and I think this moral core that we all have that says, wait a minute, that wasn't right. And she tries to, you know, recreate what she saw. She's not sure. She goes back and forth, but she just can't let it go.
Mm-hmm.
So I was very interested in how she would do that, and also the kind of girl that Anna is. I mean, she is a very strong young woman. She is gifted. She is funny. She, you know, she's an actor. And one of the things that she's very interested in her acting is trying to figure out, she's very empathic. If I were such and such, how would I feel?
Mm-hmm.
So there is this river of empathy that runs through Anna and runs through the stories. So she was able to pull from all those parts to say, I saw something wrong. I'm not going to give up until somebody believes me.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up. I'm talking to Joan Bauer about her book, Tell Me. Her website is joanbauer.com. Now, Anna in the book, she doesn't accomplish her goal by herself. There's the power of community. So I'm wondering, were there instances of the power of community in your life that made you want to integrate that theme in your books?
Oh, that's a wonderful question. There, definitely. I've never done anything by myself, you know, except maybe put my makeup on, you know, fix my hair occasionally.
Uh-huh.
But I just, yeah, I mean, people are, we are stronger together. We just plain are.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that I learn, you know, more and more as I'm an aging adult, that we, you know, Anna has this initial gift, bam, and there she is, but she has to have people come on board who are experts. Now, all of a sudden, Homeland Security comes, and they understand about this. If she was just a vigilante and she was just going out and going to do it by herself,
mm-hmm.
that would be totally wrong. But she understands that she listens to what people say. And this kind of a subject, too, is a kind of thing. It's pretty hard to everybody agrees on this.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody agrees that we have to do something.
Yeah.
About human trafficking. So she was able, even with people you don't particularly like in the book,
mm-hmm.
all of a sudden they go, you know what? I want to be part of this too. So it starts with one girl seeing, and it moves into an entire community. And I think things like that, when they happen in real life, those kinds of things really make God smile.
I agree with you. And the thing is, they do happen in real life. They
yes.
just don't often get a lot of press and print and ink and everything. So
you're absolutely right. But often, you know, when we hear about them happening, we don't see the story of it.
Mm-hmm.
We see, oh, the community came together. We don't see the fact that one kid really had to knock on a lot of doors to be heard, and that's what I hope will empower kids and just sort of show them too. One of the things I so want to do, Tony,
mm-hmm.
is I want to help kids see that they have this hero inside.
Right.
They might not know it's there, but all of a sudden when that's tapped, wow, is that a point of empowerment? They can go out into the world and really make a difference.
Yeah. I'm talking to Joan Bauer about her book for young adults. It's called Tell Me. And on this topic, it just reminds me, Anna drinks from a cup in the story, and the cup says, I'm a miracle. And from God's perspective, we are all miracles. So how important is it that young people get this message that they are important, they have a purpose, they are God's miracle in a way?
Oh, I think it's one of the most important things to impart. People, kids flock together, and everybody wants to dress alike too often, and they want to kind of be the same. And yet this uniqueness and seeing that's what makes it powerful. If you don't know that you're unique, if you don't know that you have a purpose, you know, that's a big part of your life that won't be plugged in. And to understand that even now, you know, and I go to so many schools. I speak all around. I've spoken all around the world at school.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kids, if I say to kids, you know, what makes you angry in the world? It's amazing the hands that go up.
Mm.
And they'll talk about the headlines. They're paying attention.
Yeah.
And then I'll say, no, what can you do? What is it that you can do in the world? And all of a sudden, they have some pretty good ideas. And they kind of look around sometimes and they think, wow, did that come from me? And they're unique. We have to help kids do that. And the point about, you know, about God's love, there's so much that's angry in the world and so much that's scary. But that can feel like a blanket. And that can, I know that when I found that as a young person,
mm-hmm.
when I realized that God really did love me. It was personal, and he had a plan for my life. That changed things immeasurably for me.
Well, tell me a bit about how were those seeds planted of faith in your life? Because some people, they're planted and they don't take root, but for you, they took root and they blossomed.
They did take root and they blossomed. They took a while. I mean, I wish I could tell you that I had, you know, everything. The garden just came up right away. It did not come up right away.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to hear about it. You know, I thought it was pretty boring. But my grandmother was a professional storyteller, an amazing woman of faith. And my mother came to faith, when I was in my 20s, really. But they really were speaking that into me. And, when I got a hold of that, when I really began, then I began to pray and sort of saying, gee, is this right? My mom got cancer. My dad died very tragically.
Mm.
There were a bunch of things that happened in my life. And at each one of those things, I actually felt God's hand on my shoulder. I felt it. And I'm such a dramatic person that I think I needed to have something dramatic like that.
Right.
To
right.
really know, yeah, this is real. This is not something I'm drumming up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the most dramatic parts of your life, I know, was a car accident that really
yes.
debilitated you. Tell us about that experience and how that fed into your faith. Because I could see going through something like that and thinking the person could logically think, okay, why did God do this to me? Or maybe there's no God at all.
Right. Well, I'll tell you something, because the timing of it couldn't have been, in my opinion, couldn't have been worse, because I had been studying to be a screenwriter
mm-hmm.
for a few years. I just signed with a big talent agency in New York City. A day or 2 days after I signed, I was in this car accident, and I couldn't work for a very, very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually thought, you know, this is it, my career. I was injured. I mean, I couldn't sit at my desk. I wasn't thinking too clearly. I had to have neurosurgery. It was very, very difficult.
Yeah.
And I remember lying in bed and it was almost like seeing a window open, and I just saw my dream go out the window of being a writer. There it was. It was done. I couldn't do it. And I was angry and I was frustrated and I was scared. And yet there was this other part, too. In the beginning of that, I started thinking about a story to write, and I thought, well, that's a nice cosmic joke, because I can't write a story. And yet there was this voice that was sort of in me saying, you know what? Here's a story. This is a very strong girl. She's got a big dream. You can write this. It's not over for you. And yet everything around me said it was over for me.
Mm-hmm.
And yet it wasn't. And bit by bit and moment by moment and, you know, paragraph by paragraph, I wrote my first young adult novel. It ended up winning a big award. I didn't go back to screenwriting. I would very much like to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I dip my toe in every once in a while. But that was those moments of where it seems like it's the end, but it's actually a new beginning.
Yeah.
And strength coming from me that I knew was not in me.
Right.
And stories still fresh, like a river still fresh, when I felt lousy. That couldn't be. And yet, when we, I think, Tony, and I know you know this, when we open up ourselves to that power that is beyond who we are,
mm-hmm.
and we just really let God have his way, let him have our disappointments,
yeah,
and, you know, the crushing things that happen, and yet still believe that there's something good.
Yeah.
There's something good. That's what it has been for me again and again. And the thing about faith is that you get to practice this all the time, right?
Yes.
You don't just have you have a car accident, you have a big thing, but then you get to have, you know, the pop quizzes
yes.
throughout life and say, wait a minute, remember what we talked about? Is that still right? And so it's just that fine tuning. And I tell you, I believe that there is absolute good in this world. And you know, if there's a way that we can show kids in the midst of stuff that's tough and that's dark, there is good in the world. Focus on it. Learn to look for it.
Mm-hmm.
And when you find it, boy, don't let go. Don't let go. Because that is more powerful than the other stuff going around. And that's the power, you know, of the Christophers, of lighting the candle.
Absolutely.
That's what you guys are all about.
Well, thank you for the plug. I'm talking to Joan Bauer. Her latest book is called Tell Me. It's for tweens and teens, young adults, and it deals with the topic of human trafficking. But we're also talking about Joan's background, how she comes to integrate things like hope and faith and humor into all her work. And Joan is a two-time Christopher Award winner. She's a regular at the Christopher Awards. She's there with us every year. She's a good friend of ours. And I don't know if last year you might have gotten to talk to one of the winning authors, Amy Andrews. She co-authored Love and Salt.
Oh, certainly, yes.
And she was raised agnostic, but she converted later in life to Catholicism because she said she was drawn to, quote, the story of Christianity.
Oh.
Is it the story part of Christianity that just kind of connects with you in a special way as a writer, do you think?
That's a wonderful question. I do believe it is. It is the story of all these people who were failures, who really messed up. And, you know, again and again and again, the living grace comes in, you know, and people who should have just been left by the wayside. Why would God use them?
Mm-hmm.
And here he comes and says, ah, but you see, Abraham and Gideon and Mary and, you know, well, Mary was not a failure. She was
extraordinary. Yes.
but I mean, she was too young for this stuff to happen,
mm-hmm.
you know, way too young for any of this. And to be able to believe like that, I know what you can be.
Yeah.
Take hold of my hand. So, yeah, it's that story of God making man more than, you know, we could ever imagine when he touches our hands. Absolutely.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close Up. I'm talking to two-time Christopher Award-winning author Joan Bauer. Her books are full of hope and faith and humor. Her two that won a Christopher Award are Hope Was Here and Close to Famous, and her latest book is called Tell Me. It deals with human trafficking, but it does so in an age-appropriate way. And I was on your website, Joan, which is joanbauer.com. That's B-A-U-E-R, joanbauer.com. And I saw that you are the 2015 winner of the St. Catherine Drexel Award of the Catholic Library Association. So congratulations
Thank
on that.
Thank you. I am thrilled. I just am thrilled. So I'll be going to pick that award up and meeting those good folks in April. So I can't wait for that.
Good. What does it mean to you that your books do, you know, are well received by people of faith?
Oh, you know, it means everything to me. It really does, because I write in a very broad use of the word, I think. I try to write parables.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, we'll talk about my faith at one level, and that we'll also tell a good story at another level.
Yeah.
So when people embrace both of those things, that is wonderful for me and very, very encouraging.
Yeah, no, I agree. And one of the other things, I know we've been talking about that Tell Me has to do with human trafficking, which mm-hmm. is a serious subject, but the one thing you can count on in all of Joan Bauer's books is humor, and mm-hmm. the humor is present here too. I think humor a lot of times gets kind of short shrift, because even when you look at Academy Award Best Picture nominees, most of it is drama stuff.
Yeah.
People kind of don't see the importance of humor, but to me, it's key in stories and character. It helps us relate more. So was there a specific thing in your life that taught you about humor, or are you just naturally funny?
We had a tough growing up with my dad and all kinds of things going on. But my grandmother was just a funny storyteller, and she could make you laugh and she could make you cry.
Mm.
And she, you know, she could talk to a room of, you know, with a 94-year-old and a 4-year-old,
oh.
and she could hit a story somehow that would resonate. So I saw her, and she had a wonderful, she really knew how to make fun of herself in a loving way. But she also taught me, she said, you know, don't make fun of other people. That's
mm.
not what good humor is about. She really warned me about that kind of humor. And we see a lot of that, you know, in the world today.
Mm-hmm.
And even some of it's funny. But I really try to create humor that we can kind of all laugh at.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I try to do. And I know that if I really went off the grid on that, she would come down from heaven in her chariot, and she would really give me a hard time.
She would give you a hard time.
Absolutely. Because, you know, I really think that when you write for anybody, but particularly when you write for kids,
mm-hmm.
it's a mission, it's a responsibility. You know, we don't want to create stories that make the world just seem like, you know, the kind of place that it's not.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's okay to talk about some tough stuff. But boy, doing that without hope, with you know, the wrong kinds of imagery for kids. I don't know. I just can't go there.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to ask you, because novels for young people lately have kind of gone a darker route. There's, you know, the vampires and dystopian futures. Yet you continue to produce these works that affirm the best in us. Were you ever tempted to go dark, or does your mind not even go in that direction?
You know, I wasn't, honestly. I don't think I would be a good dark novelist. I think I'd get too scared.
Uh-huh.
I think about, you know, 3 weeks into it, I couldn't stand it because, you know, when you think about how long it takes to write a book or it takes to write a screenplay,
mm-hmm.
For a book, you're looking at, you know, maybe a year, maybe sometimes a little bit longer. I don't want to spend a year of my life thinking about that, you know, that kind of dark stuff and hanging out with that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really, so I try to create, people, characters, and situations that help me understand the world.
Yeah.
I really do it. I'm always writing partly for myself.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I try to create characters that I wish were in the world, too. So that's, you know, that's just how I do it. I'll watch something and I'll go, you know, I just invested 2 hours in this, and yet the people who made it were with it all the time, constantly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I don't quite know. I don't have that kind of constitution, I don't think.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you just mentioned you write characters sometimes for yourself. So I was wondering in Tell Me, the grandmother Mim has some signs in her house. One says no whining, and the other one says go forth and set the world on fire. Is that your grandmother in a way talking?
Oh, it absolutely is. And in my office, I have a sign that says go forth and set the world on fire. I mean, yeah, absolutely. She just had that kind of way about her. And you know what? I think signs are important because we need to remember.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, when you have it right there, there it is. It's easy. I have a big sign that says laugh on my desk. I'm looking at it right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because it gets, life gets complicated.
Absolutely.
And we can forget those things that really mean something that we can hold on to and make our lives maybe a little bit more of what God wants them to be.
Yeah, yeah. You mentioned earlier, I'm talking to Joan Bauer. Her book is called Tell Me, and her website is joanbauer.com. You mentioned earlier about you talk to kids all the time. Do you find that kids today are just as hungry for hope as they were at any time? Is it tougher to convince them that there are reasons for hope?
Yeah. Good, really good question. The first part is they are just as hungry, maybe hungrier.
Mm-hmm.
The second part is that kids have become very jaded.
Mm-hmm.
They've seen a lot of role models fall. They've seen difficulties in the world. And yet, Tony, there is, and one of the reasons I love thinking about stories through the eyes of a young person is there's still this idealism.
Mm-hmm.
There's still this positive core. So I think it is, you know, really, really important to show them, because sometimes we'll be talking about something.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about a difficult thing. And I'll say, well, how could we put hope in there? What could happen? This looks like this character is going to fall off a cliff. What could we do to make things better for them? Well, they know the answer.
Yeah.
And they love thinking about that. I think sometimes we don't, and I try to encourage teachers too. I said, you know, I would love to see somebody do curriculum on hope.
Yeah.
You know, where in the story did the hope come?
Mm-hmm.
Where did it begin? Where did they begin to lose it? How did they find it again? You know, I think we need to do that. But I think the message of hope, I see kids holding on to it because of the kids who talk to me after I visit their school, the letters that I get, you know, they're plugged in. And a story, as we know, we all know, that a story can teach you life lessons in powerful ways. So when, you know, I get a letter from a kid who says, Mrs. Bauer, well, this actually happened with Hope Was Here. This is a girl who had leukemia. She had it when she got it when she was 12, and she actually read Hope Was Here, one of my first Christopher Award winning book.
Mm-hmm.
She read it all during her chemotherapy. It was the only thing she read.
Wow.
And she said, Mrs. Bauer, she said, I don't know what to tell you other than I don't have leukemia anymore. And that book just helped me. It just helped me. Now, I'm not the only one who writes books like that, but, you know, when they find something that has hope, I think they really want to grab onto it. So, boy, let's give them more.
And as an author, that's got to make you feel pretty darn good.
Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you something. It really is amazing because, you know, you hope. It's weird being an author because a great deal of what I do is completely solitary.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden the book goes out there and then you begin to hear. That's the power of it. And all my books are still in print, thankfully. You know, I saw a cartoon in the New Yorker many, many years ago, and two businessmen were talking. And one of the guys said to the other one, he said, you know, young people today need heroes. That's why I hired a PR firm. And I think that kids know. They know when you're gaming them.
Mm-hmm.
They know when you're not for real. And I think they're looking for people who are, you know, who are real, who can speak maybe to hope in their lives. So I hope to be, you know, to be able to do that.
I'm Tony Rossi. You're listening to Christopher Close-Up, and I've been talking to Joan Bauer about her book, Tell Me. Joan is a prolific author. She's won 2 Christopher Awards. She's won numerous other awards. Her novels are filled with hope, faith, and humor. And like she said earlier, she feels like she writes parables, and Jesus used parables to teach. So I think Joan has a pretty good role model for how she's teaching lessons in life and writing stories that uplift the human spirit instead of tear it down. It's something more kids, more adults need today. And Joan, thanks so much for doing that. Visit joanbauer.com. That's JOANBAUER, joanbauer.com. And Joan, thanks for all you do and for writing Tell Me and for sharing your stories today.
Oh, Tony, thank you so much. Thank you. I loved it. Thank you for all you do.
Now, before we end today's show, here's a message the Christophers would like to share with you.
Patience may be a virtue, but it sure is a difficult one to practice. After all, none of us like to wait. And in our instant gratification culture that offers quick downloading and streaming and same-day delivery, waiting can become even harder to tolerate. That's why the Christophers have prepared a news note called Practicing Patience. It suggests 5 simple ways that you can become a more patient person and share stories about people who have successfully done so. To request your free copy of Practicing Patience, send an email to radio@christophers.org or call our toll-free number at 1-888-298-4050. We look forward to hearing from you.
In closing, I want to thank all our listeners for tuning in today, and I encourage you to visit our website at christophers.org to learn more about the Christophers and to download free literature and podcasts. When you're there, you can also find links to our blog and our Facebook and Twitter pages. And if you have any questions or comments about the show, you can send an email to radio@christophers.org. Our engineers for today's show are Charlie Actor and Brian Bonifacio, and I'm Tony Rossi, your host. Thanks again for joining us, and remember that it's better to light one candle than to curse the darkness.